Now, our Bible focus today is continuing in the book of James. It's James chapter 5 and verses 7 through to 12. So let's hear the word of the Lord. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven, or by earth, or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Amen. God will bless this reading from his holy word. Now this morning, our focus again is on the letter of James. And we're approaching the end of the letter, and God willing, we will finish the book of James next Sunday morning. Now, today's themes are patience and perseverance. Patience is mentioned four times in the passage, and perseverance is mentioned twice. Now, a few weeks ago, for our family service, we looked at the whole idea of patience. I guess that patience is something that we wish we had more of at times. Now, some people, of course, are by nature very patient. Some of us, sadly, just aspire to be patient and then become frustrated when we are found to be impatient, such as waiting in a traffic jam or having to queue at a shop when we are in a hurry. Maybe that person is you and you really struggle to be patient. Now, the patience we are thinking about today is slightly different from your regular aspiration to be patient. It is, I suppose, about ultimate patience, because it's really referring to patience in the Christian life. You see, no one said that it would be easy to be a Christian. No one said it was going to be an easy ride following God and following his ways, especially when it seems that following the world is far easier. We're reminded of this, for example, in Psalm 73, where the psalmist envies those who don't follow God and yet who seem to have it easy. They have no problems, no struggles. They keep good health. However, in contrast, following God and following his ways is not easy. Now, last week we thought about riches and James warning those who have riches that it won't last. But of course, that is all very well to say, but when you see a neighbour who has all the trappings of wealth, whilst you're wanting to instead honour God, it's not easy. Because whilst that neighbour is able to see and to hold everything that they have, treasures in heaven aren't so tangible as treasures on earth, are they? But that is why James speaks about patience and perseverance here towards the end of this letter, as he's encouraging his readers to keep going, because honouring God, living out their faith in him, is worth it. It is worthwhile. Now, the question for us this morning, and for the original readers of James, of course, as well, is why? Why is it worthwhile living out our lives for God? Why should I bother? Well, the first reason is the Lord is coming back. Now, of course, we know, don't we, the fundamentals of the faith. We know the Easter story, that Jesus died and he rose again, and that he will return again in glory. It's stated in the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, for example, that Jesus will return again to judge the living and the dead. And I want you to notice that from the very beginning, it's been the expectation that Jesus would return. Now, in biblical times, it seems that the writers around that time, the early believers at that time, they thought that Jesus' return was imminent. They might be surprised that we're still waiting for Jesus to return 2,000 years later. But we must remember that with the Lord, 1,000 years is but a day, and that the Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, as it says in 2 Peter. And so whilst we wait for the Lord's return, we too are to be patient. And the example that James gives is of a farmer who has to wait for the land to yield its valuable crop. Now, I don't know too much about agriculture, but I know that when you plant a seed, you have to wait. You have to wait for the seed to sprout. You have to wait for the sun and for the rain and for the plant to mature before a crop can be harvested. There's no point going back the following day having planted a seed, thinking it will have already sprouted. Of course it won't have. We are to be patient, to wait. And whilst we wait, we are to make sure that we continue in the right path, that we don't grumble against one another. Because the judge, Jesus, is just at the door. So we are to wait with patience in the sure and certain hope that Jesus will return again in glory as the judge. Therefore, we're not to lose hope or to think that Jesus is not coming. We are to have patience. That's James's first point. And 2,000 years later, we too are to be patient. Sometimes we might be frustrated at the injustice that we see in the world or in our community. Perhaps we wonder to ourselves if Jesus is ever going to return. Maybe people think that we are crazy for believing that Jesus will return. But of course, that's nothing new, is it? In 2 Peter, Peter speaks of scoffers who say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." So being mocked and scoffed at for thinking that Jesus will return is nothing new. Of course, it is fundamental to the faith, isn't it? That Jesus will return. And we're always to be mindful of this, that the judge is at the door. Now James then moves on, in thinking about patience, to speak about perseverance. There are many situations in life when we are probably tempted not to persevere, but simply to give up. At school, when we're faced with a subject we can't do or we couldn't do if it was a longer time ago, the temptation, of course, is to give up. If we don't understand algebra, we give up. If we don't understand calculus, we give up, don't we? At home, if we're doing some DIY and it's all going wrong when we're trying to put a shelf up, for example, the temptation is to give up. And of course, it can be a temptation also to give up in the Christian life because it's too hard. It's too difficult. But the great thing about the Christian life is that we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, as it says in the book of Hebrews. And therefore, we have the encouragement to keep going and to finish the race. That's why when people are doing a marathon or a half marathon or a triathlon, that it's so important for them to have supporters there. The London Marathon this year was cancelled for obvious reasons because of the coronavirus. But they still did a virtual version of the London Marathon where people were able to run in their local area. But how different their experience must have been. Because when you watch the London Marathon, what do you see? You see the streets lined with hundreds and thousands of people cheering on the competitors, to inspire them to keep going and to keep on when things are really tough. And as believers in Christ, we have supporters who inspire us along the way. James gives as example the prophets, probably referring here to people like Jeremiah or Ezekiel, prophets who clearly didn't have it easy and who faced much opposition to their message, and yet who clung to God and who persevered until the end. And then James uses Job as an example. Job, who you remember, lost everything. His possessions, his house, even his family. And yet he kept clinging to God. And what happened to Job? At the end of the story, we see that he ended up with twice as much as he had before. He was doubly blessed by God. But he had to endure. If you know the book of Job, you know that there are about 40 chapters of real misery. He had to endure. He had to keep going before he finally found the blessing. And ultimately, Job found that the Lord is full of compassion and full of mercy. And the same is true for us, isn't it? When we persevere, when we are patient before the Lord, we understand that he is full of compassion and mercy. And therefore, we know that all will be well for us. Now, we're not promised that everything will turn out well for us in this life. We're not promised that we will suddenly prosper in this life necessarily, as it did for Job. But we are certainly assured that it will be well for us in the life to come, because we know what kind of God we serve. And we know that his promises are true, and though often we let him down, he never lets us down. And so I encourage you today, and I'm talking to you if you profess to be a Christian, a believer in Christ, because if you aren't a believer in Christ, then all of this probably seems really difficult to understand. And if you aren't a believer, I would say, move quickly. Come to Christ. Put your faith and trust in him, because you do not know the day when Jesus will return. And you don't want to be found lacking. The judge is at the door. And the only way to get right with God is to repent, to admit your sin, and to put your faith and trust in Jesus. But if you are a Christian who's listening to this message today, and you are suffering, and there are myriad ways in which we can suffer in the Christian life, I encourage you today, keep going. Be patient. Persevere. Don't take out your suffering on others by grumbling or falling into sin, but look at the prophets. Look at Job as an example, and keep going. Those who persevere are blessed. It is worth it. Now, the very last thing I want to think about today is from verse 12 in our passage. Now, in many ways, verse 12 doesn't fit neatly with the verses that come before, verses 7 through to 11. But neither does verse 12 fit with what comes after it in verses 13 through to 20. Now, the focus of verse 12 is about not making oaths by heaven or by earth or anything else, and simply saying either yes or no. Now, if this kind of seems familiar to you, then it echoes almost exactly what Jesus says about oaths in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5. Now, as you look at this verse, you might be a little confused, because there are clear places in the Bible where people make oaths, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, where people make oaths of various types. But what James seems to be getting at here is about false promises or false oaths. Oaths that the person knows not to be true, but they say them anyway. And again, what James is getting at here, which has been a constant refrain throughout this letter, is integrity. It's really important that people mean what they say. If it's yes, then it's yes. If it's no, then it's no. And again, this is James warning about double speak and twisting the truth and misusing the tongue. One commentator believes that this verse is here because the swearing of oaths might have been seen as a sign of impatience by those who are under pressure. I'm sure, for example, that we've all known people, or perhaps it's even been ourselves, and we've made a rash promise. Perhaps we've even made a rash promise to God, a promise we know we cannot keep. And sometimes, of course, we like to bargain with God when we're in a tight space as well, don't we? God, if only you would do this for me, then I will follow you. I will serve you. And of course, when push comes to shove, we don't follow up on that promise. But of course, bargaining like that, making these kind of promises and oaths, can often be seen as a sign of impatience, a sign of a lack of trust in God, when we are called to simple trust and to integrity. And so I simply ask you, as we finish looking at this passage today, what about you today? Now, what we've been thinking about today isn't the most spectacular of passages. It isn't one of those passages that makes you go away and feel good about yourself. But of course, that isn't the point, isn't it? You see, church and faith, at the end of the day, isn't about us. Isn't about my feelings, isn't about my problems. It isn't about how I'm going to get through the next week. What is it about? It's about the Lord. It's about His glory. It's about service to Him. It's about focusing upon Him, focusing upon His character, focusing about what He wants, not what I want, not what I desire. If we are called to suffer, to be patient, to persevere for a little while, is that too much to ask for? After all, look at what the Lord has done for us, the salvation He has brought to us, the love He's assured us of in the Lord Jesus. And so with grateful hearts, let's keep going. Let's keep persevering. Let's be people of integrity, the people that God has called us to be, strong witnesses and ambassadors for Him wherever we find ourselves. Let's live out our lives fully for the Lord and for His glory. Shall we just pray together? Loving Lord God, we thank You for Your word to us this day. And we recognise that the Christian life is about following the narrow way. It's going through the narrow gate. Because broad is the way to destruction, and easy is that path. But following You, Lord God, is difficult. Following You is hard. And often we will suffer for our faith in myriad different ways. Lord God, sometimes in our life, we might be tempted to give up on You and just follow the world's ways because it's easier. But Lord God, we pray if we're on the brink of that today, that we would persevere, that You would strengthen us through Your Holy Spirit, and that we might be a people who rely on You. Loving Lord God, we recognise that we might suffer for a little while, but treasures in heaven are of far more worth than treasures on earth. And we pray, Lord God, that our eyes might be focused upon that day when Jesus will return again in glory. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us today, that you would help us to be the people you've called us to be, people of integrity, people who walk with you each and every day. And as we walk with you, may all glory, honour and praise be yours. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.